So each and every week at Grace Bible Church, we stop at this point in our service and we remember Jesus together through communion. We do this every week, so there's a real danger here. There's blessing, but there is a danger that we could grow comfortable in it, that we could do what we know that we always do without thinking. Or maybe continue to think wrongly about something so important. So one of the greatest threats to the Christian's trust in the gospel, and I think it's a threat here, even as we stop to remember Jesus, one of the greatest threats is our tendency towards legalism. I think C.J. Mahaney's definition of legalism is helpful, and I want you to remember this as we talk about communion. Legalism is seeking to achieve forgiveness from God and acceptance by God through obedience to God. I'm going to say that again. Legalism is seeking to achieve forgiveness from God and acceptance by God through obedience to God. It's the opposite of what we just sang. All my trust is in your blood. If even just a bit of your trust is in something other than Jesus' completed work on the cross, his substitutionary atoning death for you, that might mean, or I'd say it does mean, that legalism is threatening your view of the cross. I've seen my own tendency towards legalism rear its ugly head at communion. I fight it every morning when I open my Bible, when I pray. I've counseled many who have that same tendency, and I think that all of us have it to some degree. So I want to take a couple of minutes to help us weed out legalism from our hearts, especially as it pertains to communion. Communion is a time to remember and proclaim Jesus' death. But every time you look down at that bread and the juice, you're tempted, I'm tempted, to proclaim myself. Let's look at how we might do that. Let's look at how we might smuggle merit or smuggle our own righteousness, our own character, our own actions, or our trust in our actions into communion. Have you ever thought this? This is a virtual quote from somebody I talked to in our body. I know this person's a believer, and I saw the bread pass. I saw the juice pass. They didn't take it. I asked them why. Virtual quote. After the way I sinned this week, this person said, it just didn't feel right. I'm going to take a week to focus on repentance. And then next week, after I've obeyed, I think my heart will be in a better spot to remember Jesus. Think about those words. You've maybe been tempted to say those words. They're not overtly legalistic. You're not saying, hey, because I don't measure up, because my righteousness wasn't sufficient this week, I have no part in Christ. That's not what you're overtly saying. But covertly, that's what those words might be declaring about where your trust is. This person, I've been tempted to this. This person hesitates based on his own performance. His feeling of his relationship to God is what's most clear in his mind. In essence, when you think like this, you're saying, Jesus, your body broken and your blood spilt, they weren't sufficient to reconcile me completely to God. You need some of my work. I need to make sure that I have my act together too. The fact that taking communion after sinning doesn't feel right, it reveals a good hatred towards sin and a good feeling that sin and the believer shouldn't be mixed. But it reveals a misplaced confidence. You're right to feel uncomfortable with sin. When God saved us, He didn't only justify us, that is, declare us righteous, but He set us apart from sin and began us on a lifelong process of sanctification that will be culminated when He comes and we see Him as He is and we're transformed into His image. He set us on the path of increasing separation from sin and conformity to His holiness, but we never become more justified. At the moment of salvation, God declares you righteous, takes your sin from you, places it on Jesus at the cross, takes His righteousness, places it on you. You can't out-sin His grace, and you can never earn it. We must not confuse sanctification and justification. So at communion, if you're very aware of your own sin today, that's a good place to be. What do? Well, you confess it to God. But you confess it not in a way that hides it, seeks to minimize it, to say, God, please accept me because I didn't sin as bad as the next guy. You confess it to Him saying, I'm a sinner. A great sinner in need of a great Savior, and you are that Savior. Your death was sufficient to pay for this. Make specific plans for repentance and ask God to make you walk in them, and take communion confidently, not confident in your own ability to obey, but confident in Jesus' sufficiency to pay. You're justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus' death for you. Declare to God and to your own heart the necessity and sufficiency of Jesus' death on your behalf. Or maybe you're the opposite way. Maybe you're not smuggling in merit by your lack of confidence, but maybe it's the other side. Maybe you've had a great week. No gross sins. You've read your Bible every day. Prayed consistently, even shared the gospel with coworkers. You showed up early to church, served the body, and you're feeling good, rightly so, but not feeling good in your own merit. Far be it from me to boast except in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. You may be like me, you come in feeling good, the bread and juice comes. You're just loving church service. You're loving to be with the body. You're loving to worship. Take the bread, the juice. Don't really think, you have no huge sins to confess. You take it and get on with the service. What you might be declaring, you might be in danger of smuggling merit, your own character, into communion by placing your confidence in your own work, in your own righteousness, in your own ability, or even Jesus's ability in you to obey this week. Have you ever done this? So at communion, what do you do with your obedience? Well, you declare that your obedience cannot add, does not add one iota, one bit to Jesus' finished work. To say so would be to say that Jesus died for no purpose. Rather, you say, my confidence to come to you, God, is on the basis of Jesus' forgiveness and righteousness alone. And you recognize that true obedience is not a means of justification, but it's evidence of it. Thank God. Praise Him for that. Place no confidence in your flesh. And confess, even at your best, your and my efforts are imperfect and marred by sin. Even the most seasoned saint will have much sin to confess. Specifically, look for this sin. confess it as sin, and declare your dependence on Jesus for forgiveness and perseverance. And then take communion confidently. Not on the basis of your own work, not on the basis of your performance, but on the basis of Jesus' completed work on your behalf. Declare to God in your own heart the necessity and sufficiency of Jesus' death on your behalf. So finally, what's the purpose of communion? In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul gives us Jesus' words, and he repeats it twice. He says, "Do this in remembrance of me." There's much threat to have your eyes on yourself. It's right to look to yourself in the sense of looking for the sin that you bring to the table so that you can bring it to God for forgiveness, for cleansing. It's right to look to the good deeds that God has wrought in you to give him thanks for them. But in all of that, look past those things to the cross. Do this in remembrance of Jesus. You and I will be tempted to remember ourselves, either our disobedience or obedience, and try to smuggle our own merit into a time that's designed to remember and proclaim Jesus. So, Christian, when the bread and juice come, if you're a Christian, take the bread and the juice. That's the Bible's command for you. Where there's sin, confess it, repent of it. Where there's obedience, praise God for it. Continue to walk in it. Look for more sin to confess. And if you're not a Christian, meaning that if all of your trust is not in his blood, if you haven't forsaken yourself completely and turned wholly to Jesus, if you have any hope in your own religious efforts, in your own righteousness, anything other than Jesus' completed work on the cross, let the bread and the juice pass. But please don't leave here today without talking to me, one of the elders, whoever brought you. You do not want to trust in your own blood before Jesus, before God the judge. The only righteousness that God accepts is the one that he provides. And that's Jesus. And we get the great confidence to boast and trust in that this morning. Man, please come and serve us and take communion on your own.